Cheers.
Cheers.
Welcome, everyone. New people, old fans of Engaging, welcome back. Coming to you in podcast/YouTube vlog format.
We also have our Instagram account going, run by the amazing Ollie here. And if you feel like it and you have the app, go on TikTok, look up Engaging, and give us a follow. We're gonna post some pretty good content there.
Yes, run by the Snake Queen herself.
Yes.
Instagram, run by Rat King, myself.
Yeah, today's episode is all about coming out.
Ooh.
Right? Of course, you know me, Kaylee, and we have...
Yes, me again, Ollie. Pronouns, they, she, he, rats, like whatever. And we also have a special guest,
Danny. Pronouns she, her.
Yeah, Danny is visiting from Ottawa, and we're really happy to have her on the show.
Yeah, I mean, we've got that Toronto perspective.
Stay tuned, because we have another special guest coming in a bit halfway through the show. So stay tuned so that you get to witness it, listen to it, and just check it out and listen.
So we have our bi-weekly news that actually will be happening bi-weekly because our podcast is now going to be bi-weekly. Okay, I thought we'd start off with some positive news. So the beloved queer young adult novel, Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe, is getting a live action film adaptation this year, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
Author cool. Benjamin Sine, a queer author. Rough storyline is two Mexican-American boys, Aristotle and Dante, form a life-changing bond with each other after a chance meeting at an El Paso pool in the summer of 1987. Something that's really, really exciting about this is, so we've got a queer writer and we also have a queer trans director, trans Latina filmmaker, Aich Alberto, and this will be her major studio debut. The film is also boasting a lot of Latinx legends of film to be in the cast, but nothing has been completely confirmed yet. And get some good queer Latinx representation.
Something we really do need more of in mainstream media.
Absolutely, yeah. So I definitely recommend the book if you haven't read it. It is sort of a staple of
queer culture.
Back to you, Haley.
So going off that, we've heard a bit about a new movie adaptation coming up with a lot of queer representation. And this kind of goes along right with that. A new DC comic series. It has recently come out. This new DC comic isn't the only thing coming
recently
out.
Recently revealed, maybe.
And Sun is also joining that theme. And he's gonna come out as gay. And like his father, falls for a reporter.
Not only gay, bisexual!
That's exciting. The character the decision has, of course, been met with some criticism, but DC has made their stance on it very clear. They are not going to change it, and they're very sure on sticking with it because they feel like this is a really good piece of representation to have. It's really cool that they're going along the route of the sun, because as cool as it'd be to see like a character like Superman come out as bi, I think it's better that they're not trying to overlap who
exactly.
that character is, but instead they're saying, here's another person like this character, just happens to be queer.
Yes, I think it's a lot better than like JK Rowling it, you know, where you're like, oh, this character that I had that I wrote and like had no intention of making queer is queer now, you know?
Point of having a queer character, I think, is not the fact that they're queer, but they're this amazing character who happens to be queer. Not making that the center point of it is really cool and a really good step in a better direction.
Exactly, and more than that, recently different superheroes who have come out as queer and stuff, and I mean like throughout comic book history, like it's pretty queer. People have always criticized like Batman and Robin for their like close relationship, like what does it mean, you know, all of that
True.
Stuff. And I think it's finally time to like embrace that a little bit and be like, yeah, pretty freaking gay. And that has been the super positive bi-weekly news that happens bi-weekly.
We are going to launch straight into coming out. What does it mean to come out? Is there a right way to come out? And just what does coming out mean? And does it have different definitions depending on where you are or who you surround yourself with? So what does coming out mean to you guys? We'll start off with that.
I think coming out is just like saying like, oh, like I'm not this default box that society has put me in. You know, everyone's assumed to be either, you know, cisgender or straight, right? So like come out is just saying, hey, I'm not this thing that you automatically think I am.
Totally get that. Kind of showing who you really are instead of going along with what's expected.
Yeah, it's obvious that you're going to be assumed to not be gay. Like people probably won't assume that you're gay or that you're cisgender. And a lot of people aren't really a part of the queer community. They don't really get into those details of like queer coding. I think to like cuff your jeans or to wear like a lot of rings or have a hairstyle this way or to wear this kind of shirt. And a lot of, you know, straight people, like they don't know that.
Interesting. So I guess you're kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you're kind of phrasing it where coming out is sort of a thing, at least for you, that is like telling the straight people in your life, like, hey, I'm not what you think, and less about telling other queer people because they're gonna get it sort of thing.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people who are like queer will like look at me and be like, oh, she's like probably not. But because you don't catch on to those like little cues, I guess.
Interesting. So I guess that makes sense. It kind of goes together where straight people are going to assume the default of straightness, but most likely other queer people, if they're queer themselves, are probably not going to be assuming defaults. The difference, I mean, yeah, let's talk about that. The difference between coming out to a fellow queer person and coming out to a straight person is, yeah, it's wildly different.
It's too, yeah, entirely different situations and experiences.
Yeah, being a cisgendered lesbian, there's definitely an ability for you there to not have to come out. Yeah, to be able to, you know, go along and not tell and people can just assume whatever. Now, I do think that it really does change or depend. For example, like somebody maybe wanting to come out as not cisgendered. I feel like that is can be a different situation because choosing solidify that you will be misgendered. You know what I mean?
So
it's kind of a different situation. I've definitely felt that before, like especially in like class settings, where it's like, man, I don't really want to come out as like non-binary, but unless I want to be she, her all day, then I better do it. You know what I mean?
True. How does that usually work? If you're in a class setting, like do you talk to the prof privately or is it for the class?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. I have never privately come out to a prof before. Usually, honestly, like because over COVID is when I like decided to like change up my pronouns and stuff. And towards the beginning of COVID, it was like completely they them, like non-binary, and now I'm starting to experiment with like just pronoun kind of acceptance and indifference of all forms. On Zoom, everybody has their name, and then a good number of my classes had pronouns in your bio, so
yeah.
I didn't have to say a word and I could just throw the pronouns in my bio, and it was kind of nice. That actually took away coming out because it was just like there they are,
extremely casual.
Yeah,
normalized.
I was pretty lucky. I got to come out and now I don't have to say anything to most people like I know at school, which is pretty nice.
And that, I feel like COVID, even though it had a lot of downfalls, that was one of the upsides, is people who were discovering their gender identity, trying to figure out what fits best, were able to do that in a more chill, normalized, and quiet setting.
I definitely attribute like the fact that I got to like do that experimentation and stuff was thanks to COVID, you know, thanks to being alone most times, just spending time with myself is what really like fostered that situation.
COVID helped with self-discovery because I know a lot of people came out during that period of time, and I think it's because, like you said, you had this period of time with only yourself to really reflect on who you are, what you wanted, what your values were, and just who you wanted to be seen as. And I think, even though we joke about it a lot, like, oh, I know, like, everyone came out during COVID. Mm-hmm. I think that's partially why. It's because you had this period of reflection.
Totally. I'm gonna ask you, Haley.
Ooh.
What was your coming out experience? I'm pretty sure it was a pretty fiery one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, my coming out experience was pretty different from a lot of other people's. At the time, I came out when I was 15, 16. I had known I was gay from a very young age. Whenever I'd act on it in some way, it was always very secretive. It was always very in the closet, like don't ask, don't tell type stuff. I remember my grade 11 year, about five of us got together and said, we want to form like a GSA type of group for the school I go to. And we did, we got all the approval and everything. But when we were about to launch into our first Pride Week, we had to make an announcement first to say like, hey, we're this new group and this is the stuff we're gonna be doing during the Pride Week. They needed a speaker, and the speaker that was supposed to speak backed out about last minute. We were supposed to have this announcement on a Tuesday and this was Monday. So I said, I can do the speech. When you're doing a speech for like a gay kind of club, everyone really assumes you're queer, like even if you aren't, something that inherently happens. I wrote out the speech where I said, I am gay. But then before this, I also forgot that I hadn't come out to my parents. So I texted them saying, can we talk? I need to tell you something. Can you call me at 6 a.m. my time? We called, they took it very well. Then I came out to the entire school, all within 24 hours.
That's intense, buddy. Wow.
It, honestly, I don't regret it. Like, it was intense. I did not eat anything before that speech. It honestly went really, really well. And everyone at that school, even though it was like Catholic, conservative, everyone was super, super accepting, except the odd maybe one, two people. Even though it's a very chaotic way of coming out, I think that group has gotten exponentially bigger. They've partnered with other schools to like make a Pride Week festival happen. Yeah, I'm just really happy that I did.
Oh, that is so lucky and amazing.
Yeah.
Where was the school again?
It was a boarding school on Vancouver Island named Shaunigan Lake School.
And it's interesting to me that they didn't have like a Gay Straight Alliance club or anything like that before, yet everyone seemed very open to it and very accepting of it. I have a lot of friends who have like gone to like private Christian schools who've had like very different experiences.
Because it was a boarding school, we had different houses and a house parent that would basically act as your parent. Mine would always be about how you need to like be accepting to everyone who is diverse. So I think that's another thing that really helped. You're away from your parents. You're away from all those ideologies that your parents might have. And because you're being raised by teachers, basically, it's their job to make sure you get a full education and not one that's extremely biased.
I'm so glad you had that experience, but I feel like that might be an outlier. You know what I mean?
No,
like in the grand scheme of things. I think we can all agree that Haley's coming out story, like Haley came right out of that theoretical closet, if you will.
Kicked the entire door down.
You kicked that door down, you blew it up with dynamite. So if Haley is clearly fully out of the closet, what makes one so? What makes you fully out of the closet? Is there something you have to do? Is there a certain amount of people you have to come out to? Are you only fully out once your parents know? Are there rules? Does it matter?
I don't know about you guys, but I think it entirely depends on perspective and personal opinion. Well, you might say, like, I am completely and fully out. I am only out completely to my parents. I have not had that formal conversation or anything with my extended family. They could know. I know some parts of my family do know that I'm gay, but I haven't directly told them. So some people could argue that I'm not completely out, even though I had that crazy coming up.
Which is so interesting that other people are going to can define whether you're out or not, you know, that they can have an opinion on that. Like,
but I think it's something that can't really be defined.
No.
Like, I don't think there's ever such thing as fully out. Very personal based, like, to me and myself, like, I would consider myself fully out. And that's just because the people that I care about in my life, no, and that's that.
That's a good way of defining it. The people who matter to you, no.
Yeah.
And that's really all that's important. You know, I have told my parents, my siblings, but yeah, my whole extended family have never said a word to them really about it. You can check it out if you want. You know, like, I don't need to come out to you.
Yeah,
you know
I think what I mean? Exactly. The big difference is that when you're out, you're not, like, secretive about it. It's just about, like, not pretend to be something that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to have that conversation. But if it comes up, you're not going to be like, oh, well, I'm not.
One, I like the way you said being out is when you are no longer pretending to be something you're not. I want to inquire about one of the things that you said. Parents or whoever else are going to assume that you're not gay, rightfully so. What do you mean by rightfully so?
Part of it is definitely like a societal standard that you're kind of pointing to this default. If you're in the closet, a lot of people try to kind of hide that. At that point, if you're doing that, you're probably taking away a lot of those. You're not really going into those like queer stereotypes. But a lot of younger people, like people who are our age, are coming out, right? Or identifying as non-heterosexual.
You're saying like, understandably so, perhaps, for the person, but I would disagree that it's inherently right to assume heterosexual. Do you know what I'm trying to say? We are moving towards a future where that's not rightfully so. You know what I mean? We were not born in a closet. Society made a closet that we are supposed to go into if we want to be safe, you know? I mean, depending on where you live and depending on who you are, obviously all of us are pretty privileged. We are not saying that you have to come out, because there are so many queer people in this world where the closet is their solace, you know? The closet is safe, and we understand that. I hope we can get somewhere where the closet doesn't exist for anyone. Either that, or straight people need to start coming out as straight also. That'd be great. I think we can see it with the pronoun. Like, a good number of my classes are suggesting that you put your pronouns in your bio, you know? Putting your pronouns in your bio is normalizing pronouns,
absolutely,
is making my they, them pronouns normal, you know? Is making trans people's pronouns normal. Everybody's putting the pronouns in. It's now everyone is coming out and disclosing. Like, I think it is a privilege for cisgendered people to just think they don't have to.
Quickly, if you're listening to this and you're still watching and liking it and you don't have your pronouns in your bio, put them there. Like, if you feel comfortable doing it, do it. Help us normalize it.
Yes, all right. We are going to take a short little break, collect our thoughts. We are going to share our queer artist of the week with you. Really excited. Polly Clausius. She's an amazing singer-songwriter. We're going to let her introduce herself and her song.
Hi there, my name is Holly Clausius, and I'm a queer artist based in Toronto, Canada, and you're going to listen to my song, Yellow Dress, which is all about falling for a straight girl and all of the problems that come along with that. This was the first song I ever wrote about liking another girl, and even though it wasn't the perfect love story, it definitely helped me find my true, authentic self. And I think it's pretty relatable to a lot of queer people, so I hope you enjoy. Thanks.
Trying to say this for years, it's hard to say it through the crying. I'm trying, but I'd be lying if I didn't say I was scared. Hey you, and it's okay to like those eyes. You get tripped up deep inside, erase it from your head. It's time to go to bed. She smells like flowers that are drenched in red. We talk for hours and my mind's a mess. Said it's okay, why am I feeling this? Falling for the girl in the yellow dress Hey you, come help me clear the sky. But it was never found, no way, no how. Hey you, come take me far, far away. Neverland is where we'll go, never losing hope, and no need to call. She smells like flowers.
That was a really good song. I felt it.
I did. Loving a straight girl sound romantic.
Yeah, you really romanticized that.
Yeah.
But also captured like the
angst that used to be there but still kinda is. Mm-hmm. But like you've let go of and romanticized now.
Excellent work, Holly.
Yes.
You've ruined my Thank Friday. You. If you enjoyed that, please check out Clausius on Spotify. She is also releasing her new album Rose Garden. I believe it's coming out on the 21st of October. So
definitely go check her out. Super Listen to exciting. The new album.
Yeah. Now we will be moving on and introducing our special guest, a fourth year sexual diversity studies specialist with double minor in women and gender studies and critical equity and solidarity studies. And is a peer support worker for LGBT youth. Why? Is that how that works?
No.
We've just been talking about our experiences and coming out and like what it means and like do people really even have to come out and why do straight people get to decide when fully out? As a LGBT youth line worker, I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about your work experience and the experiences you've had with youth regarding this topic.
Yeah, so definitely it's something that like comes up on the lines like a fair amount. People come in and they chat and they're like struggling with coming out, or like a lot of the time it's like the pressure to come out. It's like this assumption that you feel like you have to come out, or you're being inauthentic by not coming out. Once you've done it, and like it's hard to change your mind or go back or like allow for fluidity in coming out. And in what you come out at. And so one of the things that we use online is to reframe coming out as letting in. Instead of coming out as something, you are letting people into your life and into your story and to your experience. You can like kind of give agency and control back to the person. It's like you get to decide who you want to let into your life and who is deserving of that and who you think you're safe to come out to and who you want to share that part of yourself with coming out, this like idea that you, if you're not out to everyone, like you're hiding, you're like,
you're keeping a part of yourself.
Yeah, that isn't true, obviously. Mm-hmm. But in letting in, you can kind of control that narrative and be like, this is something I get to share when I want to share it, and isn't something I have to share if I don't want to share it. And I think it also allows for like a little bit more fluidity. You can let people in different ways. You can let people into different parts of you at different times and let them in again. I think with coming out, to like manage the reaction and be like, are they gonna like accept me or not? You're giving them the power to do that. And letting someone in, you have that power. You're like, I've chosen to do this.
Yeah. So it's kind of like changing this theoretical closet idea and like removing the shame around choosing whether or not to stay in it or leave it, turning it into like a cozy living room. Like I've decided I would like you in my living room, and if they don't want, then like you're like, okay.
Yeah, close the door and be like, bye.
I'll be in here. Like,
I'm in my own. Yeah, that's actually a really good way of putting it. You're like, you're safe in your own home and you are in your home.
It's not a dark and closet. Like,
yeah,
you're
it's
chilling.
Like a cozy place, and if they don't want to be let in, you're still safe in your home.
Your body, your brain, your whole being is your whole house. And like, don't have to invite everyone into your house, just like the people that you want to. You can let people in again or in different ways. And that's not something that we really covered or talking about, but you can change your mind. You can let people in different ways. Is there like any limit to how you can let people in or how many times you can?
No, that's kind of part of the point. Let them in again to other parts that you've like figured out the fluidity of yourself. Mm-hmm. Being like the house. I think coming out kind of asserts that you are different than the norm, and like heterosexuality is like reconstructed as like the normal thing. But in letting in, you're just sharing your life and your experience and yourself.
Present day society, coming out to you was like saying, hi everyone, I am different. A totally valid way of like coming out, and
very
obviously
empowering.
The way it's been, and I think maybe letting in is a different way of doing it. I'm not different at all. Like, this is totally normal. You know, it all depends on the way you want to think about it.
Yeah. When we're talking more so about the terminology of coming out, I think something that comes up no matter what age you come out at, or like, there isn't a right time, but do a lot of people feel pressured about coming out at a certain time, at a certain age, and at a certain point in their life?
A lot of youth feel like they are like hiding something or being inauthentic by not coming out. They feel like they need to do it very early and like very, like at a young age, and to everyone in their life, have like that sit down discussion, you know, where they're like, hi, I'm gay.
Hi, gay, I'm dad. Like, Yeah, I think that pressure to come out as soon as possible, I think, is reinforced by this idea of a closet, in that, like, if you're living your life in a dark, closed, confined closet space, you're obviously, like, not living your life to the fullest, and you're not, like, enjoying yourself, and you're in the dark, and, like, all of this, and, like, you can't be happy if you're in a dark closet. And, like, this framework, like, makes queer people feel pressured to, like, disclose to people.
Yeah. This is, like, kind of a situational thing, but you think that there should be... We have, like, youth helplines for this, but what about helplines for people who come out later in life, who live through very stigmatized
older adult helplines?
Like, where the AIDS pandemic was at its peak, should we have helplines, or should there be some sort of program or group that is created directly for people like that?
Yeah, I definitely think that as much as it is, like, super important to focus on youth, and, like, there is, like, that vulnerability there, like, we do tend to forget older generations of queer folks and, like, assume they've got it figured out and assume they've got the supports they need and stuff, which, like, you don't necessarily. And there's also, like, new issues that come out, like, as you get older. Like, there's now a ton of issues around, like, queer folks moving into, like, retirement homes and not wanting to, like, live in a retirement home that's, like,
true,
super without homophobic.
Give me a queer retirement home. I want to go there. It definitely makes me think about that. Why are there, like, so few, like, old queer people? Like, where are the people to look up to or whatever? And, like, a lot of the reasons might be because, like, a lot of people might not be out because it was very not safe to do so at their time. Or, like, a lot of people didn't get the support that they needed. And, or, yeah, with the AIDS epidemic, like, passed away. Like, there
are... Yeah, a lot of, I think, older queer people have passed away at a very young age.
I'm sure that there must be some, like, old, like...
Yeah.
Some resources and, like, helplines for older people. But and then you said that you had a friend who had this experience, so maybe we can get them talking on this.
I really want to, because he's in Toronto.
I don't even think that... I think this goes without saying. One of my questions was, is there a right or wrong way? But clearly, there is no right or wrong way.
Yeah.
Oh, I have some questions for you. I know with being on this helpline, like, you're not really supposed to tell anyone what to do. But you can't do that, because it is up to the person. This is your journey. It's up to you to decide. What are some tools you use to help guide people?
Yeah, I think a big part of what we do is you kind of, like, really acknowledging people's own, like, agency, and, like, that they know what is best for them, and, like, you can't make decisions for people because you will never know their life story as much as they do, and, like, really giving back the power to people to make their own decisions. But you can give them the information to, like, help make an informed decision, and part of that is, like, offering other options or other narratives, or asking them questions about, like, what they're trying to get out of coming out or letting in, and, like, what they want that experience to feel like or to look like, or what they think some concerns might be around that, or, like, how to structure that moment to, like, hopefully get as close to that as they can.
I really liked how you were talking about, you know, what are you hoping to get out of coming out or letting in? And I thought that was cool because, it's really centering the person, because I feel like a lot of times this pressure and this fear to come out is based on, if I don't come out, these are the things that are going to happen to me, versus what do you want coming out to do for you? So talking about safety, I think that's just another reason why letting in, I think, is becoming my new favorite term for this, is because letting in does offer a safer option, potentially, in that you can let in who it is safe, who you feel safe with, and you do not have to let in other people. I think it can be a safer option depending on the person.
We sometimes frame coming out as, like, kind of a confession. It goes back to, like, you know, I think a lot of the history is probably, like, pathologized queerness, less of, I'm confessing this one thing and then you burn, like, that's it, we're done.
Yeah.
It's more of, like, you know, a dialogue, a moment of connection and sharing and, like, opening that discussion.
That was really great. Thank you so much, Sierra and Danielle, for coming and talking to us. I think what we've learned here is that coming out is up to you. Coming out, letting in, however you want it to be, you are the main character. You can do it however you want, you can change your mind, and your safety is of the utmost importance. You know, do whatever will make you feel the most comfortable.
Again, Holly is coming out with her new album on the 21st, you said?
Yes, 21st of October.
Go stream that. Go check out Engaging's TikTok or Instagram. Lots of good content coming to you there. And if you like this video, oh god, give it a thumbs up, subscribe, and if you want, share it, because that really helps us out with making content.
If there's anything you would like to see or hear us talk about, drop a comment.
If you're an artist and want your song featured on our show, like, drop a comment, DM us on Instagram, and we will get back to you.
Yeah, reach out. We're always looking for new content and new guests, and we would love to connect with you.
So thanks for listening to Engaging. That concludes our first episode of our fourth season, and we hope you had a great time listening to us.
Hi, I'm Ray, and I'm a dead fish. This has been Engaging. Fabulous girl, live your life. Bye.